This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch the show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. 80 protesters were arrested in Washington, D.C. this week as activists greeted Republican lawmakers returning from recess. The protests were held over the controversial American Health Care Act at 13 different locations in various House and Senate buildings. Now, the House passed the ACHA. It is now in the Senate's court to vote on its version of the bill. But given the unpopularity of the bill, as well as the political controversy around Donald Trump Jr.'s meetings with Russian contacts, Republicans are rapidly running out of time on their central campaign over health care. My guest is Leanne Hall. She's a co-director of People's Action, a board member of Healthcare for America Now, and a longtime advocate for affordable, accessible, quality health care for all. Welcome to the program, Leanne.
Thank you, Sonali. Excited to be here.
Now, I want to talk to you today specifically about an aspect that we haven't had much time to discuss around the healthcare bill, which is prescription drug prices. But before we get into that, let's talk about the activism we've seen. Last week, while lawmakers were in recess, there were attempts by activists angry about the ACHA to meet with them. Some did get to meet with them. Others were shut out. This week, people have gone to Washington, D.C. to confront lawmakers as they return. How active is the opposition in the streets to the ACHA?
I mean, we see a tidal wave of activism across the country from all sorts of walks of life where people are registering their concern about the healthcare bill. People are marching under the slogan, kill this bill before it kills us. There's a real concern about how this will impact their own lives, but also the lives of their neighbors and friends across the country. So we've seen people rising up in hometowns, and as you saw in D.C., with well over 100 people there and more than 80 people being arrested yesterday.
Now, are there specific senators among Republicans? Because the Democrats are being pretty united on this issue, so it's pretty much the Republicans who would have the votes to pass it if every single Republican voted for the bill. But we know that there were several who had said they wouldn't, including people who felt it went too far, such as Senator Susan Collins from Maine. Over the break, do you know if the tide has turned? Have more Republican senators sort of pushed the bill a little bit further, you know, put a little distance between them and the bill?
I mean, it's really every day I get a new story. It's just touch and go. The Republicans are working hard to create a compromise that brings people together and supports the bill, and yet they haven't been able to do it. There's a very narrow margin of a few votes. And that's why you see the activism really on the rise in the streets again, because there's so much at stake for people in terms of what's going on here. No one's taking it for granted that they're not going to be able to move this bill forward. In fact, we're very concerned. And that's the importance of people going out and sharing their opinions.
Now, let's talk about what changes, if any, the Senate leadership might be making to the bill as well, because there's been some talk about amendments. Do you know anything about the kinds of amendments that might be being proposed or specific aspects of the bill that are being opposed from both the sort of left end of the spectrum among Republicans, if there is such a thing, and the right end, are they going to be able to tweak this thing?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question. From the far right, people are really underlying a lot of this is not only an attack on the Obamacare or the ACA, but really a fundamental attack on Medicaid. And wanting to see the whole program restructured, which would hurt senior citizens, children, and many working poor people across the country. On the sort of moderates, people want to mitigate that harm. One of the proposals is a special fund to deal with the opioid crisis and throwing money at that, but really I think some of the Republicans are very concerned that that will not solve the problems, especially those Republicans coming from rural states where they've seen an increase in these problems and seen really Medicaid be the front line of their defense. So you see this back and forth about it. You know, it's really critical that we understand the key role that Medicaid plays in our overall healthcare delivery system in America.
So let's talk about where the bill and Republicans in general stand on the issue of prescription drug prices. Now, under the Affordable Care Act, many say not enough was done to bring down prices. And indeed, under the ACA, drug prices have gone up, haven't they?
Yeah, so one of the ironic things is that we all know that one of the crises around healthcare is the cost and the cost that families experience in paying for drugs and paying for copays, even when they're covered either by the ACA or private insurance. And one of the things in the ACA was that it never gave the government the right to negotiate drug prices. And the proposals on the table now in the American Healthcare Act actually make that situation worse. What you see is a big giveaway in tax breaks to drug companies, more than $25 billion in tax breaks are in both the House and the Senate version, while at the same time, the proposal includes kicking more than 22 million people off their healthcare coverage.
So you're saying it's not just a tax giveaway to wealthy individual Americans, which is part of it, right? I mean, that's how they're cutting Medicaid by removing the small tax increases on wealthy Americans. But you're saying that they're also giving tax incentives to drug companies.
Exactly. The overall tax giveaway is more than $700 billion in the Senate bill, with 45% of that going to the highest 1%. And drug companies will get $25 billion in tax breaks from that same giveaway. So what we see is a bad situation being made worse by the way they're restructuring how money flows in this the American Healthcare Act.
Has President Trump specifically addressed the issue of prescription drug prices? And is there anything that might come from him?
You know, Trump early on pointed out that drug costs needed to be negotiated, but he's been silent on the bill and he's been clearly supportive of the tax giveaway overall. So I'm not really that hopeful that he will stick to his guns, so to speak, of his early comments about the need to negotiate with the drug companies. It doesn't seem like he's following up on the promise that he made.
So the Senate version of the bill that does have these tax giveaways to drug companies, is the justification for the tax boon based on some projection that drug prices will fall if these companies get some effective subsidies?
That sounds like magical thinking to me.
But I mean, is that how they're justifying it, or they're not even bothering to justify it?
Yeah, put that one forward. But I don't think that any more subsidies to the drug companies, there's no experience that any of us have where the drug companies on their own lower their prices. We've only seen them fight to maximize their profits. So a company like Eli Lilly had profits of $2.7 billion last year. Pfizer had $7.2 billion. We need to curb, not exacerbate, these excessive profits. And we need to do that by really relating to the experiences of the American people who are paying for these drugs and through their taxes, paying for the research that goes to create new drugs that address people's healthcare needs.
And of course, the reasoning that drug companies give whenever they are confronted with a high cost of drugs is that they have to recoup their costs of research and development. There was a New York Times op-ed on June 30th by a Harvard economics professor entitled, "High Drug Prices Are Bad, Cutting Them Could Be Worse." And it's exactly the same argument that if you cut drug prices, you would squash innovation for a medication that is life-saving, that isn't being researched and developed in other countries. It's really in the U.S. because of our high drug prices. What do you say to that?
I say there's a lot of irony out there. In fact, the U.S. government, through our tax dollars, subsidizes a lot of the research and development that these private companies do. But we don't see the benefit in our prices through any negotiation. We have the highest prescription drug prices in the world. Other countries and people, as they should, benefit from these drugs and pay much less. I don't know about you, but I know when I go to Canada, I, for instance, am allergic to bees, and I buy my EpiPen there because the price of the EpiPen has gone up to $600 a shot. Things that people basically need to get by. I think you hear all the time about seniors on their trip to Mexico getting buying their drugs and prescriptions there. Now on the internet, people are doing it. And what I really know is that people are just worried sick about the price of these prescription drugs. Drugs are priced twice as high in the United States as in other countries.
By the same companies?
Yes, by the same companies. Huh. But the same drug, the same companies.
They price their drugs higher in the U.S. than in other countries because they know they can. There's no regulation stopping them from doing so.
Exactly. And it has, it has a huge impact on people's lives. I mean, one of the things that we did was send out a little announcement to our email list and got thousands of responses back from people telling stories about what it would mean if the AHCA goes through. And there was a woman in Georgia who has two sons who are have hemophilia, and they need drugs. They need to pay for their drugs to do the clotting for their blood, and it's extremely expensive. And she's very nervous and concerned about the impact in their family. A woman from Colorado, for example, had multiple sclerosis and uses medicines that are priced at $6,000 a month. There's no way, given her health, that she would be able to pay for those directly. So we really need to see, our whole medical system is based on, prescriptions and prescribing remedies for people to maintain their health or to get better. Mm-hmm. And in the current system, we're very concerned about people's ability to access the drugs they need to stay healthy.
So, Leanne, what does People's Action recommend in terms of how to get drug prices under control? Now, I know that proponents of single payer healthcare say that if Medicare was expanded to all Americans, then the government could use its, negotiating power to bargain down the prices of drugs. But if single payer is not attainable, realistically speaking, can the Affordable Care Act be preserved while addressing drug price increases?
In the Affordable Care Act, one of the things that we'd like to see changed and in Medicare is to create a provision where we can negotiate for lower drugs. Of course, we'd like to see Medicare for everyone. We believe that healthcare is fundamentally a basic human need and that should be covered for everyone, should have access to what they need. But in the meantime, we also believe that there are interim steps that can be taken, and we can open up drug negotiation, price negotiations within Medicare to drive down the cost of those medications. So There has been legislation that's been introduced on occasion to do this. It's extremely popular across party lines to do this. There was a Kaiser family poll last year that showed 80% of the people support this kind of solution. And you know what? People say, oh, well, we don't do that in America. But that's actually not true. Both the Department of Defense and the Veterans Administration use price negotiations and pay prices about half that of what we pay in retail pharmacies. So we know it's possible. And that's why people are organizing, to see these common sense, broad-based solutions implemented in this country now.
It's amazing how the ideology of the free market is often supposed to be borne by the most vulnerable Americans. Well, finally, Leanne, where can people find out more? And are there people making an issue about prescription drug prices in the activism we're seeing against the AHCA? Is this issue being made enough of a big deal of?
Well, I think, you know, people are trying to raise it in their one-on-one conversations. We're flooding the phone lines in Congress, raising it. In addition, there's an issue that's come up in addition to the reforms that we've just been talking about, where the drug companies, even in this environment, are also lobbying for another special consideration that I'd like to take a moment to mention. Right now, because of research and development investments, drug companies, when they put a new drug on the market, have a certain number of years where they have a monopoly over their ability to sell that one drug. They're asking that that monopoly be expanded for a much longer time. And one of the ways to drive down prices is to actually let the market prevail and make sure that there's competition to get those drugs and to shorten the amount of time that drug companies are the sole owners of that prescription, especially when there's been public investments made to develop that drug. So even as we speak, drug companies are lobbying to further their advantage, more than the tax breaks, to expand their monopoly, and to use the excesses of their power to heighten their profits once again. So there are many opportunities. We feel that there's a real awakening, that people are rising up, calling their offices, meeting one-on-one, getting arrested, talking about the impacts on their families. And this tidal wave of getting active is really key to our ability to make this change. So we're very encouraged that we can shorten the life of the monopoly that drug companies have, highlight and reduce the tax giveaways being given to drug companies, and really get on the road to negotiating drug prices with big prescription drug companies.
Well, Leanne, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We will, of course, continue to follow this very important story. Thanks so much. Good luck to you.
Great. Thank you. Take care.
Our guest is Leanne Hall, co-director of People's Action and a board member of Healthcare for America Now, and a longtime advocate for affordable, accessible, quality healthcare for all. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.